I want to begin a series for the next month. We're going to be talking about Joshua. And today I want to talk about Joshua the man, who he was, and what he was about, because we are in much like a generation that Joshua faced. Joshua was faced with taking a whole nation into a land that was hostile and a land that would not accept what they were doing. And they were untrained, undisciplined people that went into the promised land. They had everything taken care of while they were in the wilderness. Everybody 20 and under lived. Everybody 20 and over died, except for Joshua and Caleb and Moses. And they kind of made it, and Aaron. But when they crossed over in the promised land, Joshua and Caleb were the only two from the old generation that carried themselves into the promised land. And it was kind of, I want to draw some sort of a linear line this morning, because, you know, there's a, we're in a generation that's heard a lot about revival and heard a lot about the power of God, but we haven't seen a lot practical working out of the power of God. How many could say amen? Kind of, we're on the losing end of things, and that's not the way it should be. Many of us have had all of our needs taken care of for so many years. We've kind of lived in the lap of luxury. You say, well, you're not in my house. But compared to the rest of the world, we're living in a lap of luxury. And God is calling us now to go in and possess this land again. Rather than wipe America off the map and say that America is not going to be there in the end times and that we've went too far and God's anger is going to be unleashed and America is going to pay for her sins. How many know God is a redemptive God? And there's no sin that's been done too bad for God not to redeem us. Amen. Now, individually, there are people that have gone too far. I understand and I get that. There's reprobate. The Bible says that they've gone too far. There's no possible way to bring them back. But that's not talking about the bulk of this nation needs a touch from the Lord. And if ever you and I needed to be like Joshua and have the faith of Joshua, it's now. So I want to just take a look at this guy, because he shows up on the scene out of nowhere. Who's Joshua? Joshua was we know what he did. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, you know. But where did he come from? He all of a sudden in Genesis, if you'll turn in your Bible, I'm sorry, in Exodus chapter 17 this morning. First time Joshua is mentioned, he's a captain of the army. I mean, he's a soldier. He's going out to fight. And his name, by the way, for those who have taken notes, it's in your notes, I think. Joshua is Jehovah is Salvation. It's a type and shadow of Jesus. Actually, it was the Old Testament name of Jesus. And so we talk about Moses and his deliverance, his delivering the children of Israel. But many times we just associate Joshua to Jericho and maybe the sun standing still or something like that. But we don't realize that Joshua was ever so much important as Moses was. But lest we think that our generation is not as important as any other one, the great giants of faith that lived before, God is raising up a generation of giants right now. And before you go pointing to somebody else and hoping you can meet those giants, I wish we had a mirror to look in, and we do, it's the Word of God, but I wish we had a physically mirror, because you it. You are the giants of faith that God is looking at. We are it. We can't, it'd be nice to pass the buck or hire it out, but we can't do it. It's us. Here in Exodus 17, Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said in verse 9 to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he had let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. We look at this passage of scripture, and there's been lots and tons of messages on Aaron and Hur lifting Moses' hands and the battle being won. But guess who led the people in the battle? Joshua. And his role was ever so great at that time. And God spoke to him specifically through the prophet Moses. I'm going to wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from heaven. Speak that in the ear of Joshua. So, Father, we pray this morning, Lord, as we enter this time of looking at this young man that became an old man that led a nation. Father, stir something within us this morning, Lord. Because we're right at that crux of time, God, when you want to do great things, Father. Many prophecies about this end times and the greatness of your kingdom being coming to bear on this nation, Father, and others in the world. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you would stir something within us to walk as Joshua did in his day. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we see first Joshua leading Israel to war and defeating the enemy as a soldier. He started as a soldier, but he quickly became an assistant to Moses. In Exodus chapter 24, 13, Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. We often, you know, see Cecil B. DeMille and Moses taking off, and he says, I must go. And Joshua's standing there waving to him and standing with his wife. See you later, Moses. That's not the way it went. Joshua accompanied Moses to the mountain. And he stayed right there with Moses. And somewhere between the children of Israel and the burning bush, Joshua was waiting on Moses. Joshua was about to see the hand of God change the man of God on that mountain. The next deliverer rose to power under Moses and was with him at crucial times. Joshua was there when Moses had his burning bush experience. The mountain was a command to Moses, and it was a commission to Joshua. Now, when we must pass, you and I, us older folks here, and I'm only speaking to me, I'm the oldest in the building today. We've got to pass the baton on to the younger generation. And it's crucial, listen, it's crucial that we fire up for this last lap. Because there is somebody waiting to receive the baton, and it's the younger generation that we're ready to receive whatever they're given, passed down to this next generation, has got to be formulative, it's got to be powerful, it's got to be life-changing, and it's up to you and I, the older folks, to get fired up again. Joshua, I don't know what went through that man's head when he was there. He was there 40 days on the mountain with Moses. We don't hear any conversation. Some say he was halfway up. He just partially up there, but he sat and he waited for Moses. We think Moses was up here. Well, here was Joshua. And, you know, I've done a lot of reading lately. I'm sure you have. I've been reading about past revivals, about how the power of God moved in Los Angeles and moved in Wales and moved in Kentucky and moved in Rochester in 1904 and 1908. A great outpouring of God's Spirit here in this area. And so, that's, we're waiting on something, and God says, don't wait anymore, receive. See? The next generation must be willing to receive it, but we've got to be willing to give it. Secondly, Joshua, while he was there, and went up to Moses, and here's what he said in Exodus 32:17. Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted. He said to Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And we see something in Joshua that you can't make it happen. We either have a burden or we don't. We can't set and condemn you into having a burden for this generation. We can't make you have a burden for this generation. No matter how many sermons you listen to, you either got a burden or you don't. And I believe, and so do you, as we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we'll receive His burden. How many know Jesus is burden for this generation? He's not written it off at all, contrary to popular belief. He's not so upset that He says, I'm just going to come and I'm going to send everybody to hell. Hell is the last destination Jesus wants for anybody. And Joshua, out of concern for the people, he said, there's a sound of war. We need to get down there and take care. And Moses said, it's not a sound of war. It's a sound of partying. But although his discernment was wrong, his burden was right. And you and I have went through changes in our lives where we have a burden. Maybe our burden has been wrong for this generation, but we have a burden. With the baton passing, there must be a genuine concern for the lost. We must have a concern for those. Look, whatever happens to you and I, we're going to heaven. Turn to somebody and say, is he talking to you? Hear what I say now. According to what the Word of God says, we're going to heaven no matter what happens. But we pass by people every day that their destination is nowhere near heaven. But we want their destination changed. See? We must deal with the selfishness that has gripped our land like a vice. It's sad that we're living in a generation that basically is all about me. What makes me comfortable? What makes me strong? What makes me weak? Come on, someone. We live in a generation that seeks Google before they seek God. I wonder how I can get this healed. Let's Google it. You know, send to Mexico for these pills and eat them. My Bible says, if any sick among you, call for the elders. It's quiet in here. See, Google doesn't even come before God in the dictionary. It's God first. We should seek God first. Exodus 33:11. Turn over there with me. Exodus 33:11. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Everybody there smiling at me when you get there. Show me your pearly whites that match with the red we have on today. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. What was the secret of the power and the anointing of Joshua? It was not a big secret. He just loved the presence of God. We've got to love the presence of God again. Instead of the view from the TV, from the latest sports craze. We've got to, again, love the presence of the Lord. The presence of God must accompany His teachings. We must allow God to move in our gatherings. It shouldn't be a foreign thing. It's almost like sometimes we've got to crank up our faith. How many know when we get together in gatherings like this, God's here. God's here. He just wants to do what He does. Two amens. When He is present, when God is present, we don't need to explain. We just need to receive. Joshua just said, I want to stay. Moses, you can go do whatever you're doing. I'm staying here. It's not to negate what Moses was doing. He had a lot of responsibilities. But Joshua understood. He knew something long before it happened. And we've got to keep our wicks trimmed and our lamps full. Because the bridegroom's coming. You're not hearing me. Because when he calls on us to go out, we got to be ready for it. Joshua went into the promised land and saw and spoke the word of God. Again, this was caught, not taught, because he went with 11 other guys that were raised in the same environment as he was. The presence of God accompanies the teaching of God, but we need to pray that we would see what God wants us to see. Joshua going into the promised land with Caleb, his motivation was faith, not fear. The other 10 guys, it was fear. And I talk to so many Christians today that have fear that it's all going to fall apart. You know, the devil can't take what's not ours. Everything that's mine, everything I have is God's. So devil, if you think you can take what belongs to God, have at it. But if it belongs to me, the devil can come in and steal it from me. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen this morning. Everything we have is God's. And there's no threat when God comes to, when the enemy comes to get it. If he wants to fight God for it, have at it. God said he would protect what is his. See? But if it's not his, he's not obligated to protect it. Oh, come on. I'm preaching good stuff today. If it's his, he'll take care of it. The facts do not change. When we're under attack, we're under attack. Somebody say amen. We're under attack. When things happen, facts do not change. Faith does not change the facts. It overcomes the facts. We so often we want to change what's happening in the world. The world's gone to hell in a handbasket. It's probably not going to get any better in sectors of our nation. It's probably not going to, as a matter of fact, it will atrophy, it'll get worse. But at the same time, God will have His way and He will be glorified in this generation. Those that are hearing the voice of God are drawn by the Spirit of God because that's His intent. Don't try to make things change that are not God's. That's His business. Christ said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said, I'll build my church. Leave that up to Him. Be about His work. Turn over to Numbers 14. Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Even in the face of the other ten that thought it was impossible, Joshua and Caleb spoke the word of the Lord. He held to His word even with the threat of death. If you look down in verse 10, all the congregation, somebody say all. All the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord, as soon as that happened, the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle, meaning before all the children of Israel, and God said, you ain't stoning nobody. You missed it. He said to a generation, you missed it. I don't care if I'm the only one standing on God's word, I'm going to stand on God's word. Come on, somebody. If everybody else turns and runs away, that's the determination that each of us have to make in our own heart. Can't make you do that, but it's got to be within yourself. You say, no matter who turns away, I'm standing on God's word. Because one committed Christian to the Lord is better than a million sinners to the enemy. One person. Joshua was one guy that changed the nation because he stood on God's word. We cannot and indeed should not expect support from the religious sector of our nation or this world who rest on tradition and deny the power of God. They're not going to stand with us. Don't hope what's hopeless. If they've turned their back on the word and they turn their back on God, pray for them that they would turn back. But don't lose any sleep in it. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Let's move on. There's a job to do. Promise to enter into the promised land was held by only two. If we are secure in our destination, we will be bold on our journey. If we're secure in where Christ is taking us, we'll be bold on our journey. You can't do anything to me. I'm 6 foot tall and bulletproof. I'm headed to heaven. I'm not going to be messed with by the enemy. He can't threaten me with death, sickness, disease, anything, because none of that belongs to me. I don't receive any of that. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm a man full of faith. I'm walking in the faith that Jesus gave me. I'm not going to turn my back on that to receive all this nonsense that's happening. Fear is absolutely filling our atmosphere everywhere. Everybody's fearing this and fearing the unknown. How many know? There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. My God is all powerful. My God is all knowing. If I can't trust in Him, who can I trust? I quit. Get me off this mud ball if God's not in control. But He is. Listen to me. The destination determines the steps, not the steps, the destination. The destination. You keep in your mind. Keep focused on where you're headed. Because this is only but for a moment. And we're headed for glory. When we'll be known as He knows us. We'll take care of everything. That's my destination. So my destination determines my steps. I walk boldly. I walk confidently in Christ. What can the enemy do to me? Come on, somebody. Say that with me. What can the enemy do to me? Say, oh, Pastor Rick, don't say that because now the enemy's going to attack you. Balderdash. It's a bunch of garbage. Oh, don't say that. He's nothing. He's nothing. I don't want to even give Him a moment of my time. It's a moment I'll never get back. The only thing I want to do is rebuke Him. When I rebuke Him, He's rebuked. Say that with me. When I rebuke the devil, He's rebuked. What, somebody? Devil's got nothing to do with me. I'm a child of the King. We've got to walk in faith, guys. If we're going to get this job done that God wants us to, we've got to walk in faith. So Joshua is faithful. He gets through all of that. All the other spies, by the way, if you read your Bible, all the other spies died of the plague. The other 10 guys died of the plague. Joshua was standing there with Caleb going, man, we made it. Then in Numbers 27, 18, the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give him some of your authority, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. So here's Joshua now being taken from an assistant to now a co-leader of Israel. And we wait too long. These young people are with us this morning. We wait too long. We want them to, yeah, you just hang around. Come to this and come to that. But we don't take too many serious steps because you're not old enough yet. Man, that's garbage. Man, take your position as leaders, you young people. God's called you to be a leader. As a matter of fact, everybody that's saved is supposed to be a leader. Say, I'm a leader. This stuff, the clergy, laity stuff is garbage. It wastes people's time. It wastes the church's effectiveness. It's not about somebody that has a title. It's about somebody that has Jesus. If I have Jesus in my heart, I'm a leader. Say that with me. If I have Jesus in my heart, I'm a leader. And you set the pace. I don't care if you're 12 years old or 92 years old. You set the pace. Joshua understood that. He got something that he caught something that nobody taught him. He said, I'm a leader. He started out being a servant. He started out being a soldier and a servant, but he was promoted. God told Moses, take Joshua to the priest and share the anointing with him. Because of his faithfulness, the Lord inaugurated him as a co-leader with Moses. His promotion carried the respect of Israel. And there is a dearth of leadership in our generation. There's very few people that are taking the lead. In fact, the biggest leaps we have now is in technology. Better games to play. What? Faster servers. What? Who cares? We need men and women of God to make a stand. Be righteous. Be integrous. Be holy. And watch what God will do. God will raise you up. Promotion doesn't come from the north or south, the east or west. Promotion comes from God. Amen. And God rose Joshua up. Deuteronomy 3, verse 28. Turn there. Deuteronomy 3, 28. Who was this Joshua? This Joshua, we don't know how he was born. He wasn't born of old people. He wasn't born of a virgin. He didn't get thrown in prison. He didn't wear a coat of many colors. He was a man that God used just because. Just because he didn't come from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't come in. He was a man that stood and said, God, I'll be used if you want to use me. And that's what God is looking for in our generation. Deuteronomy 3:28. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you see. The commission of Joshua was to complete the process God began in Egypt. God said, I'm bringing you up out of the land of Egypt to a land that I promised you. And Joshua was the one that led them in there. We talk about Moses leading 2.5 million people out. Joshua led 2.5 million people in. The best days of the church are right now. God has preserved the church miraculously. There's all kinds of reasons the church shouldn't even exist in our nation. You want to see where we're headed? Look at England. England never caught what God wanted to do, and they wanted to do a great renewal in the 80s and 90s, but England turned their back on the move of God in the 80s and 90s. When God was sweeping this nation, England said, well, we've had enough. They stopped the power of God. Read about it. Right now, England is being overrun by Muslims. Sharia law is the order of the day there. By 2025, there'll be a Muslim nation. Quiet in here. If we don't embrace this move of God, we could very definitely be headed in that direction. But God. God says, no, I have a different plan. I have a different plan for you. God wants to use you in this harvest. The question is, are you willing to be used? Those who do not know God, if you're here today and you not know God, He's calling you today. Don't be afraid. Judgment has already fallen on Jesus. You only need to confess. Jesus already taken his sin. You just need to confess. Deuteronomy 31, turn over there, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it." God's talking to Joshua. God's talking to Joshua. And he's talking to our generation. He's talking to us right now. We are going to be the ones to usher in the kingdom of God. Can you imagine? God, couldn't have you have done that in the 50s when there was the healing revival? God, couldn't you have done that around the turn of the century when there was a great outpouring of your spirit? God, could you use those people out in California? You know, there's nuts that are lifting their hands. Could you use them? God's using us to usher this in. And he's speaking to us through his word today. The inheritance was realized for the whole nation because God ordained Joshua to do it. Without his leadership, they would have never possessed the promises of God. Every generation is begging for a leader. We are the leaders of this generation. God is raising up replacements right now. He's raising up replacements right now. I want everybody under the age of 40 to stand to your feet. Everybody under the age of 40 to stand to your feet. You better be under the age of 40. These are our future leaders. I want you to stretch out your hand to them right now. If you're right beside them, lay hands on them right now. Father, we thank you for this generation that's coming up, God. We thank you, Father, for the hand of God that's on their life. Father, we thank you that you're going to use them in a great manner in this area. Father, right here in Fulton County, right here in Cass County, right here in Tippecanoe, right here in this area, right here at Caston High School, right here in Fulton, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, move through them in a powerful way. God, Lord, share with them the glory that they desire, Father God. Lord, help us to give them everything they need, all the tools they need to succeed, oh Father, for there's a great harvest waiting for them. Lord, we pray for these young leaders that they would be stirred in their spirit and their heart to be all that they can be in God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me talk to you young people. We messed up. You're looking at a generation of people, 40 and above. We missed our chance. We wasted it away on ourselves. I'm just being honest. Come on, somebody, help me. I'm not condemning anybody. We just wasted a lot of time doing things that not, and we, a lot of us wish we could reset. Just give me one more shot, man. I wish I was 40 years old and knew what I know now. How many have ever said that? Can I just tell you, no lack of faith ain't going to happen. But these young people we need to pour into. We need to set the example for. See, I'm more fired up right now than I've ever been. I may not be 40, but I sure certainly feel 40. Because I know what God's about to do. And I want to be the balcony person, cheering you guys on, cheering you younger people on. Dude, my heart's so good to see these two young men this morning standing up and giving announcements and talking and, you know, talking about vision and help, ask for help. Man, asking for help to go get people, young people that want to be committed to Christ. I'm there. I'll make it happen somehow. Look at these young people right here in this row, right here. Look at them. They have no idea what they're about to face. They need our help. They need confidence. They need boldness. Who's going to give it to them? Jesus. Who's going to help them? You and I. We need to encourage them. They're going to do things that are going to absolutely freak us out. They don't talk like us. They don't walk like them. But let me ask you a question. When you were their age, did you talk like your parents or grandparents? No. But here we are. Here we are. There's an absolute revolution taking place in the church. And we've got to grasp this revolution that's taking place because it's fresh. It's new. God's doing something new. And we don't want to stand against it. It may not sound like we want it to because we have different tastes. It might not look like we want us to. Oh, they're not being reverent. Well, listen, they love Jesus. Let God work all that other stuff out. Deuteronomy 34:9. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Notice what it says. God filled Joshua. He was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. Many of us have hands laid on us so much that we might as well be bald. Some of us are bald because people have laid hands on us so much. How many hands do you need laid on you? There's an impartation that reproduced the power of God in Joshua that God wants to do in our generation. Without the laying on of hands, the task would have been impossible. But something of Moses was passed on to Joshua. Millions of people will never follow unsure leaders. That's why the church is being mocked. We're not sure of anything anymore. And people are saying, I want to follow you. You don't even know where you're going. You don't even know where you're going. Some of you say we're going to heaven. Some of you say we're going to hell. Make up your mind. Nation will not follow a generation of doubters. We must be sure of God's word. We must stand on God's word. We must talk like we've got a brain in our head. We've got to get back to the simple message of the gospel. Born once, you die twice. Born twice, you die once. That's the gospel. You need to be born again. You must be born again. Now, before we take communion together, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. Because here's where I really want to get to today. Because Joshua, the man, would have never been able to do what he did without this encounter. And if you've not had a personal encounter with God in this manner, you need to ask God to visit you personally. Don't live on anybody else's faith. I thank God for the... Friday night I was at the house and somebody came up and pounded on my door and they had those Groucho glasses on with the mustache. I pounded on my window and said, are you the son of Brother Mac? Brother Mac was my favorite professor in college. Are you the son of Brother Mac? Pounding on, yelling. I said, man, a neighbor's flipped out. Call 911. And here it was my best friend from college stopped by to surprise me driving through. Haven't seen him in 23 years. But we began to talk, and I realized what happened to us was almost 30 years ago now. Changed our life. Changed the direction of our life. But each of us have had a power encounter with God, see? And if you've not had that power encounter with God, you're not there yet. And God, he's no respecter of persons. He'll come and visit you. Just like he did Joshua, just like he did Moses. Look here, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, hadn't gone in Jericho yet, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army, guess who it was? Jesus. Said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. Wow, does that sound familiar? Who else had to do that? Who asked it? I mean, we talk about the burning bush. Oh, that was a powerful time. Like Moses had to take his sandals off. Guess what? Joshua did too. Before Joshua did what he was commissioned to do by God, he had been inaugurated, he had been commissioned, he had hands laid on him. God said, in front of all the people, I want you to lay your hands, Moses, on Joshua. I want you to prophesy over him. I've sent him. But before he could do what God commissioned him to do, he had to have the power and counter one-on-one with Jesus Christ. And if you've not had your holy ground experience, you need to pray that you do. That will absolutely ensconce you in the grip of God. He'll never let you go. He'll never anyway, but you need to realize that God's called you personally. Not just because you're a group of people. I'm just in with the rest of the gang. I'm here and I'm part of the gang. No, individually, God has chose you before the foundations of the world. Joshua had an understanding of that. Way back when Joshua was fighting that battle with Amalek on the field of battle, Joshua knew. Joshua understood that something got a hold of him that would never let him go. Joshua understood those 40 days while Moses was on the mountain, the burning bush and the thing and the deal and the cries and all that he did. He realized that somebody had his hand on him. Joshua understood when he was asked to come and co-lead with Moses. He understood that somebody had a hold of him that had nothing to do with his lineage, the people, Israel. It had to do with a sovereign move of God. And here's where it was fleshed out. Here's where he said, what does my Lord say to his servant? What a question. What do you mean, what do I say? I already commissioned you. I already inaugurated. I already told you that you're going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He said, no, I want to hear what you got to say to me. Because after all the crowds are gone, after all the harvest is in, it's just you and God. After all that, it's just you and God. And that's what he wants to talk to today. He wants to talk to us today, personally. Before the battle, there'll always be a revelation of God. Because without the revelation of God, we don't stand much chance in the battle. I don't want to be a statistic. Anybody can start a race. Huh? Come on, somebody. Boston Marathon, 95,000 start and about 15,000 end it. Come on, somebody. Anybody can start. I want to show these young people that I can be as on fire now as I was the first day when I said yes to Jesus. I'll never forget my burning bush experience. I relive it all the time. Has God given you one? And if he has, God doesn't mind hitting replay. We don't get to live it again, but we remember what he said to us and why. And if you haven't, God wants to touch you this morning. So, Father, this morning, as we're waiting on you, trusting you, God, we ask, oh, Father, that you fill us, forgive us of our sin, forgive us of our of anything that's between you and us, oh, God, of our lethargy, God, we leave it lay. God, we want to come to you this morning and say, yes, we'll be the people that you've called us to be. Make us a Joshua generation, God. Lord, for these young people today, God, may you touch them in a way they've never been touched before. As they come for communion this morning. In Jesus' name. Please come get the elements and wait on us till everybody's received.